Welcome to our continuing audio series from IFR, the magazine for the accomplished pilot. Learn more or subscribe at ifr-magazine.com. The airspace around New York City is a fast-paced, take-no-prisoners operation that demands top piloting skills. And that's just the flying part. Once you land, you've still got to figure out how to get to Carnegie Hall. IFR editor Jeff Van West talks with New York airspace veteran and flight instructor Bob Miller about where to fly when you want to visit the Big Apple and what to do once you get there.
Bob runs a flight school out of Buffalo Lancaster Airport in upstate New York. But Bob's also an expert on flying into the busy New York City airspace, often taking students down through the airspace and landing at the Big Five, White Plains, LaGuardia, JFK, Newark, and Teterboro, often taking a tour up and down the Hudson River Corridor in the process. So Bob, tell me, you want to go into the Big Apple, you want to catch a few shows, wait in line for Chinese food at 2 o'clock in the morning. Which airports did you look at using and why?
Well, of the five that you mentioned, the ones that typically are used are HPN, that's White Plains, Westchester Airport, and Teterboro, principally because of the costs of overnight parking and transportation into the city.
What about some of the other airports lying around, like Farmingdale, Republic, you know, Islip, any of those places?
Yes, you can go into any of those outlying airports. It just makes the commute into the city a bit longer. The costs of parking and remaining overnight and even fuel prices are marginally less expensive at those outlying airports. One of the things that I do routinely is go on airnav.com, and then they have a fuel pricing link that you can put in any of the five airports, and it will give you fuel prices at that airport, plus every airport, I think, within a 30 or 40-mile radius of that airport. So if you're really doing some cost accounting, check the fuel prices first. That will make one of the biggest differences, of course, if you have to refuel coming out. And then call each of those airports and ask what the overnight parking costs are and if they are waivable if you buy fuel and how much. I think most people going into the city, time is limited. When I go into the city for, like you say, a dinner or a show, sometimes we'll just go in for the day, catch a matinee, and come back home. We want to get into the city as quickly as we possibly can, and I've always found that going into Teterboro and then various ground choices that we have, and we can talk about those as well.
Let's give people a picture of what it would be like. You're going to go into Teterboro, and then you're going to go into the city from there.
Okay, excellent question. Going into Teterboro, you have five different FBOs to begin with. So here again, going back on AirNav, checking each of the fuel prices at each of those five FBOs, I have found more often than not that Atlantic Aviation at Teterboro seems to offer the best overall pricing options. Their fuel tends to be more expensive. The last time I was down there about 2 weeks ago, it was a little over $7.60 a gallon. But their parking fees for a day are like $25, a little bit less than some of the other FBOs, and those parking fees are waivable if you buy just 10 gallons of fuel. As I said, I'll go into Atlantic Aviation, and then on the ground, if I'm by myself and I need to get into the city fairly quickly in the morning, surprisingly enough, public transportation gets us in there the fastest because a bus, a limo, it's a large bus actually, it's very comfortable, can ride along the HOV lanes, the high occupancy vehicle lanes, I believe that's what it is, that can actually have the fast lanes into the city. So getting to the bus stop is provided by Atlantic Aviation FBO. They'll very happily take you just about a half a mile to the bus stop, and the bus runs every 20 minutes, and the charge is only $3 or so into the city. Now, if I have my family involved and I want to get in there and I'm willing to spend a little bit more money, two other options are, one, a taxi cab for about $65 to $70 plus bridge toll and tip, that can be as much as $80, or a limousine. Actually, it's called a car service in New York, and that is usually it's a black Lincoln Town Car, and they'll take you into the city for about $100, $105 tax and tip and bridge toll included. Another option, if we have a little bit of time and it's in the summertime, the FBO will take you over to the ferry dock, and that's about a 20-minute ride to the west side of the Hudson River. You can board a ferry for $3 or $4. The ferry crossing the Hudson River takes 20 minutes, and that leaves you off at the around 38th Street in the city on the west side. And then from there, you can Port Authority will provide you free bus transportation up to Times Square.
Now let's talk a little bit about the actual flying in. What kind of routings would you expect coming from different directions, say both IFR and VFR?
The best service, obviously, to going in there is on an IFR flight plan, simply because there's no options on the part of ATC. They can't turn you away. You know, sometimes you cannot get flight following. So if you're IFR rated and capable and current, that's the way to go. And from New York, or excuse me, from the Buffalo area, we typically pick up the NOBBI 5 arrival, N-O-B-B-I 5 arrival, and it's in any of the approach plate books or in the Jeppesen service. And that's somewhat of a convoluted routing that takes us north of the city and then down over Bridgeport, Connecticut, and then into the airports from the northeast, actually brings you in that direction. That is, I should say, if you're going into White Plains or you're going into Farmingdale. If you're going into Teterboro from the west, in some directions there's an arrival route. From the Buffalo area, there is no arrival route. We file direct, and then ATC will usually advise us of a slight routing change en route.
Got it. What about tips for coming in VFR?
You have more freedoms, of course, to go where you want, the directions you want to go. There are some restricted areas that that might become a factor that you should be well aware of. It's nice to come in on the IFR route and have somebody hold your hand all the way down. But VFR is still an option as well.
What about delays? Delays getting in, delays getting out, and how to avoid them, or at least mitigate them?
We've had some delays coming out of Teterboro if weather is a factor, and I guess I've waited on the ground on one memorable occasion. I walked into the FBO after a day in the city, and the FBO was just filled with flight crews. I mean, there must have been 75 different flight crew members in the FBO milling around, so I knew immediately that there were going to be delays, and I chatted with one of them, and he asked me what my sequence number was. And frankly, I had never heard of a sequence number. And he said, well, call flight service, call clearance delivery, and they'll give you a sequence number. And that was one of the ways they used to meter traffic out. When I got my number, it was 130, 132.
Wow.
That meant I was the 132 guy, second guy in line to get out of there. So because of thunderstorms to the west. So we came back in the FBO with that number and monitored again the handheld. And then when we heard our number get down to, you know, about 10 or 15 from our number, that's when we were advised to go out, start engines, and get ready to go. It's interesting. Belvoir Publications a number of years ago published a book called Sweet Talking the System, and I have it in my library. I will not let it go. I'm not sure it's still in print. It was written by a number of controllers or retired controllers about how to sweet talk the ATC system and getting what you want. And I learned a lot in reading that book. And anyway, as I mentioned, there were a line of thunderstorms on that particular day just west of the city that was blocking all departures going to the west, and I needed to go to the west along my routing. A very simple option for me was to refile to the east. And I did. I refiled up towards Bradley Field in Connecticut with the intention of going from Bradley, then refiling again up to Albany, and then putting in a destination change to Buffalo. So I created my own routing that would take me around the thunderstorms to the west, and I have onboard weather capability, so I could see the tracking of the thunderstorms, and it really worked quite nicely rather than sitting on the ground waiting for this line of thunderstorms that happened to lie in the preferred route that ATC would have given me had I just remained at the airport and accepted that route.
So if people want to contact you, Bob, what's the best way for them to do it?
Through my email, which is rjma@rjma.com, or 716-864-8100.
And what about your website?
OverTheAirwaves.com. all run together over the airwaves, the .com, and they can go there. And through that, they can get to my flight school's website.
Terrific. Thanks a lot, Bob. Appreciate you taking the time today.
My pleasure. Thanks.
IFR editor Jeff Van West speaking with Bob Miller in our continuing audio series from IFR Magazine. For the accomplished pilot, you can learn more or subscribe at ifr-magazine.com. For breaking general aviation news, log on to www.avweb.com. Comments on this audio cast welcome. Audio news at avweb.com. I'm Mike Blakeney. Thanks for listening.